Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I'm doing the thing again where I can hear the loop and stop saying words halfway through saying the word. Welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk Podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell. I'm joined by Tempest. I'm fine.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how fine you are.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's written all over your face.
Yep, it sure is. For the audio listeners, I have a new face, sort of. In so much as I have a moustache and nothing else at this point because I'm fine, you see. That's how fine I am.
Sounds like a Canadian mustache. A moustache?
Yes, a moustache, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And then you need to take one ear off, which looks very stupid. But that's gonna mean that I've stopped stuttering on my words, which is great. And I need to turn this down a touch as well. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
You get to hear all of the technical admin this time.
This is great.
Podcast
is
listeners.
Some great podcast setup. And also, our Patreon backers can now watch these video versions as well. So hi,
wonderful.
Pledge Hammers. You can also see how fine I am. How you doing, Tempest?
I'm well. I didn't hate this episode of NXT,
yeah.
Which is not the norm. Mm-hmm. So we get to be positive, hopefully, for the majority of the podcast.
Depends
how much we talk. Yeah. You know, if we know what the lead in for the podcast is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
If we talk about both of those ladder matches in the first 15 minutes, we've got like the rest of the show with nothing good to talk about.
No, so we'll just talk about one. We'll just talk about one match in the first talking point, and then we'll go on to the other one later. So
wonderful.
We're actually reserving some other positivity to talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah. We need to ration the positivity for
exactly.
these shows.
Can't spaff it all in one go. something that's been going on in the office lately, I think I mentioned this on another podcast, is during our lunch breaks, we've been watching an episode of The Simpsons while everyone eats. By everyone, I mean me, Adam, Terry, and Andy. Luke today is off. Doing some stuff that we can't talk about right now because he's got an NDA on it. But it's cool stuff. And Ollie decides to just do other stuff on his lunch break that's not with the rest of the plebs, I guess. So we've been watching an episode of The Simpsons while everyone eats. And then afterwards we play Speedrunners, which is a great game. Very fun. And previously I have kicked everyone's asses at Speedrunners. And today, we played it, and Tempest, I kicked everyone's asses again.
It was great. Hell of a setup.
Yeah,
hell of a setup. You really, you hooked me.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, but, who finally got the best of Pete?
No one.
Sure enough, it was no one.
I think Terry won a point against me, and I think Adam might have won two because we went on to a new course that I was not familiar with at all. And there was a jump that just screwed me up like twice. And I was like, ah, well, you know, is what it is. But I came back and I won anyway. So, you know, still dominating, still the champion. Beat everyone in the office. No sweat. Ollie came back in, beat him as well. You know, it's great. I'm not bragging about this at all, but it is like the one win I have in my life right now. So I'm taking it with both hands, and it's mine. This is my thing that no one can take away from me.
LIW great. Stays winning.
Absolutely.
Even when we're not. We stay winning at the things that matter.
Exactly.
Like lunch break speedrunners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the real winning. Although there might be a plan to go to the pub later after work and to play another board game. And the last time we did that, I lost. So I'm going to have to buck up my ideas and try and win this time if that's the plan. And we also have been trying to figure out the work Christmas party, which is happening next week, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Tempest. And we were like, we had a booking to go do, because we're going to record the Christmas special that'll go up on Christmas Day, the worst video we do every year. We're going to record that next week. And then after that, we were going to go out and do some like ping pong for a bit at a place and then go straight into karaoke afterwards. And we were like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. That sounds great. And Ollie booked it all up. And then Ollie got a notification today to be like, sorry, it's all been booked up, so you can't have it. And he's like, but I booked it. How can we not have it if we booked it? Called him back. And then we re-got our bookings again. So now that's still on, which is still the plan. But we still have a few hours to kill between when we finish recording the Christmas special and when we have the ping pong starts at this place. So we might play an in-person game of Blood on the Clock Tower. But I don't know how that's going to go.
Hate y'all.
I know. I'm sorry, Tempest.
This is not fair. This is cruel and unusual punishment.
But I don't know how that's going to go. Adam said he's going to be the storyteller, but I just don't know how an in-person game of Blood on the Clock Tower is realistically going to work, you know? Because having like the private conversations elsewhere and stuff, like I haven't played Clock Tower in person before. I've only played Clock Tower once, and that you can find that on Noah Rodsbard's Patreon page. But so I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know if we're still going to do it or not. And also, we're going to have had copious amounts of alcohol from the Christmas special. So I don't know how that's going to go either. It's going to be interesting for sure.
It sure sounds like it's going to be interesting. And I hate y'all.
Sorry, Tempest. Hey, man, you get All Out, you get Chicago, we get this. All right, give us this win.
Oh, I don't like it. Not fair. I want to have a Christmas party.
Soon. Maybe next year. Maybe next year you can join us.
I hope y'all have a good time.
I'm sure
not
going to
sully y'all's good time just because I won't be there.
Speaking of Sully, we might also be inviting both Sully and Blair.
I just hate y'all. That's not fair.
Which will be really nice because I've not met Sully or Blair in person before. So that would be nice if they do end up going to the thing. Man. Let's get into talking about NXT. And then we've got some other stuff to talk about afterwards, where we're going to be talking about how Bron Breakker and Johnny Gargano put a really good main event. And the other ladder match as well was also really, really good. Kaylee Ray and Dakota Kai, good matches on NXT. I'd even go so far as to say great matches on NXT. Isn't that nice? Positive. Let's talk about it. I'm fine.
Yeah, you are.
I'm fine.
Yeah, he is. He's fine, guys.
I'm fine.
Look at that face. Look at that fine-ass face.
Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of NXT. I'm Chopper P. Quinnell. I'm also fine. I'm joined by Tempest, who's also fine.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. We can move on.
I mean, what do we need to talk about? There's nothing to talk about because we're totally fine, right?
I'm not fine. I'm trying to rack my brain about Pokemon right now.
That's true. We have for people who listen to the audio versions of this podcast, or if you're a member, or if you're a Pledgehammer who can watch the video versions of these, on the intros and outros of this, Tempest has forgotten the sixth member of his team that he has in his Pokemon game right now, and he can't remember for the life of him what the sixth member is. So now we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah. It's
Aggron. I'm just saying.
Big ol' struggle. It's a massive struggle right now. Like, I'm scrolling through every one of these Pokemon from, like, the first four generations. Aerodactyl!
Aerodactyl, he's got it!
That's who it is.
What did I tell you? I told you it was a flying type. I told you it was a flying type.
Well.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry to anyway. The podcast listeners, because that will be out of order. But yeah. I'm very glad. God. I have peace of mind to have figured that out.
Well. Everybody, welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review. Now we've had our fun. Let's talk about NXT, which was also, in fairness, a bit fun this week.
Yeah,
it was pretty
bit.
Decent. Before we talk about the positives of the show, firstly, want to say that you can get in your Ultra Chats at WrestleTalk.com/support. Also, there's some drilling that's just started elsewhere. I heard the vibrations, so that might be a thing.
I can't hear anything.
Not yet, anyway. It was. I felt it for like a second, and now we'll see if it's going to come back or not. But getting your Ultra Chats at WrestleTalk.com/support. We're going to read out all the ones that are $5 and up by the end of the show. And also, we are sponsored, as we have been throughout the entirety of November. This is the final week that we are going to be sponsored by Beer 52. Go check that out at beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Get yourself 10 free craft beers, UK viewers only. All you have to do is pay for the postage of $5.95. It's amazing. Go get it. We'll talk about that more later. Let's get into talking about NXT because we had two ladder matches on this episode of NXT 2.0. We had the opening ladder match, which was Dakota Kai versus Kaylee Ray. And then we had the main event, which was Johnny Gargano versus Bron Breakker, both of which was for the War Games advantage going into War Games, which is this Sunday. So we had the one we're going to be talking about is the main event one, which is Bron Breakker versus Johnny Gargano. And this supposedly was left up to a fan vote out of who of the eight people in this match was actually going to be part of this War Games Advantage match. I don't know whether that's legit or not, but
I would think so.
Yeah. I think probably these
would
probably
be
the
results. Yeah. These would probably be the results that I would expect if this was a shoot vote.
Yeah, I think so. So the people that the fans voted for were Johnny Gargano and Bron Breakker to take part in this match. And you know what? I really enjoyed this main event. I thought it was really, really fun. Both matches I thought were great. But this main event in particular, I really, really enjoyed because it wasn't just Johnny doing everything and Bron Breakker's just being protected the whole time. There was an element of that in this match, of course. He's still green. He still needs a little bit of protection. He's a young lad. But Bron really held his own in this match as well. There's a lot of times where he was taking command of the match and he was the one doing all these spots and roll. He did this really intricate, like, roll through into, like, picking him up into, like, a deadlift kind of thing. And I was, like, straight into, like, a stalling suplex. And I was like, that's really good stuff from Bron Breakker. He looked great coming out of this. Obviously, he's a big, strong man. And we know that. So I thought he looked really, really good. And I just really enjoyed the back and forth. Some of the spots were really intricate, really well done. I thought the timing was all very good, which, you know, that's one of the main things that people who are a bit green at wrestling tend to struggle with, is timing of spots and things like that and making things nice and safe. But I thought Bron looked great in terms of his timing in the whole match. I thought this was really good. And Bron Breakker got the win at the end, which is okay because it's a ladder match. You know, Johnny didn't take a pin or anything like that. He's still relatively protected. He's still, you know, he's Johnny Gargano. He's still great. But Bron Breakker gets the win. He gets the advantage for the heel team, which is good. Better than the other one, which we'll talk about later. And I think this all worked really, really well. And I think they both look great coming out of this. It legitimately made me more excited for the War Games match. So, you know, that's a plus.
Yeah. Yeah, like it wasn't as crazy highlight reel spot fest vibes as the first one was, which we'll get to. But it was still like really solid, which isn't surprising given, you know, Johnny Gargano is involved and Johnny Gargano is one of the absolute best workers in all of like American wrestling. I'm not shocked that this was so great, but it's still like, you know, it's the main event of NXT, which can be kind of hit and miss. Mm. So when we get a really good one here, it's very nice. I thought Bron Breakker really shined as like someone who's more than just a prospect at this point, where you can put him in a main event match and he's not going to like stick out. It's really good stuff. You know, I said, it wasn't his highlight reel spot fest as the other one, but they still managed to have like a really good match. And sometimes I've seen a lot of the times on WWE shows where you have multiple ladder matches on the same show, and one of them, usually the first one, is like the crazy spot fest, and the other one kind of gets outshined a little bit as a result. Mm-hmm. This didn't really feel like the case here. You know, it felt completely different from the other one, and it felt like more of like the wrestling match that involved a ladder, as opposed to like, let's do all the crazy stuff off of ladders. And I don't really prefer one or the other, because I think both of those types of matches could be great. And we got, you know, the former here, and it was really, really good. So props to these guys.
Yeah, entirely. I think it worked really well. Let's talk about very quickly how Bron Breakker is aligning himself with firmly the heel team for this match as well. Because a lot of people were saying, you know, oh, Bron Breakker hasn't necessarily turned heel by aligning himself with all the heels. But this week, there was also a promo earlier in the show where Team NXT 2.0 all cut individual promos in the ring about their respective rivals on the other team. And Bron wasn't necessarily a heel with his promo, but he was echoing a lot of the things that all the other heels on his team were saying. So this does kind of feel like a soft heel turn for Bron. Whether that's just for War Games and he'll turn face again afterwards, I don't know. Or whether this is just like part of his journey to the NXT Championship will be him turning heel, and this is the first part of that, I guess. What do you reckon about Bron being a heel, not a heel?
Yeah, I felt the same way, where it was like he wasn't like, ah, shut up, you fans, you stupid idiots. Nah, your sports team sucks. He wasn't doing that, right? But he was standing there in a ring with four other heels, and he was like, this is my team. Yeah, we're going to take it to those old-ass geezers. It's very odd, because I still think that they want him to be kind of like the top star of the show, hopefully in the near future. He probably will be the next NXT champion. But it's like, what's going on here, you know? Because he got boos on this show, of course, because he's aligned with these heels. And I'm just confused as to what the whole deal is here, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd. Very odd. I don't know. I had a Zoom pop-up. Someone else has signed into the WrestleTalk account. It popped up on my window while I was talking. I was like, whoa, what happened?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know what to make of it either. And I don't know where this is going to go for Bron after War Games. Obviously, I guess it depends who wins that match. I would assume it's going to be Team 2.0, because that's the point, right? Is you need to be putting over the future stars. But, you know, they might do something dumb and have the WWE Black and Gold team win.
Yeah. Johnny Gargano will probably get the pin.
Yeah. Why not?
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And we'll get into the other ladder match in a bit. But I thought this, if you're going to do one of the, because they seem to never want both heel teams to get the, I keep wanting to say the man advantage, but that's also not correct because one of them is a women's match. Yeah, but that sounds weird. It doesn't roll off the tongue. Yeah. Just the advantage, I suppose. They don't want both of the heel teams to have the advantage in these matches, right? They seem to want to do one of them against a babyface, one of them is a heel. This one, because there's heels and babyfaces on both sides, I felt like would have been the better choice to have like the babyface team win. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could just like have LA Knight and Pete Dunne be the earlier people in the match or something like that. And have Bron Breakker be the starter of the other team and have it be like, oh, and then the heel face dynamic can switch halfway through. I don't know. I thought that that was like a possibility, but they didn't go that way. So I'm just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, I feel like there was definitely opportunity for them to do something else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've decided to go with the babyface who's sort of a heel wins it for the heels, and then on the other side, it's just straight up babyfaces who have the personal advantage going into war games, which is very strange, which we'll get into more of later. But I also really appreciate the fact that they do these war games advantage matches as a whole, because I think it really goes to show how, like I said, this made me more excited for the war games matches. Having qualifying matches or advantage, person advantage matches or whatever, something to give the match some stakes beforehand, makes me more excited for the match down the road. This when you have stuff like Money in the Bank qualifiers or King of the Ring qualifiers or, you know, qualifiers to enter into a tournament or matches for Royal Rumble spots or, you know, this War Games stuff. Having all of these things is just a surefire way to make people more interested in the eventual match that comes down the line. I think it's a no-brainer.
I do too, and I think it's one of the things that has really gone down in quality over the years of WWE, when they just say, these are the people that are in Money in the Bank. Or, hey, here's everyone that's in the Royal Rumble. Like, my favorite
are the Survivor Series teams on Twitter.
Yeah. whatever. Because, like, qualifying matches to me are so much fun because they are a surefire way to make the wins and losses matter. Because there's immediate stakes and consequences in each one of those matches. And now, on multiple occasions on this show, we got matches that had consequences and matches where wins and losses mattered. Yep. I like that. I know some of the whack jobs that work for WWE are like, no, wins and losses don't matter, man. But, I mean, I disagree. And the best things on the show typically involve wins and losses mattering. So,
yep. Great.
Yeah.
More wins and losses mattering. That's also ideal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, let's get into some of your Ultra Chats here. Get those in at russelltalk.com/support. We're going to go through all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. We've got one here from Charles Berg that says, this was a fine show that didn't bother me at all. Also, just a reminder, NXT is in Florida, which makes it a JoJo reference. Stone Ocean streaming now on Netflix. Also on Netflix, Egg Heist, starring John the Dwayne Roxon, Gal Gadot, and Van Wilder. Yep.
Yeah.
That all checks out.
Yeah. I watched about half of it.
What, you know? Red Notice?
Yeah. Maybe half. I don't know. I watched like the first act. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's what you would expect. It's exactly what you would expect. It's The Rock being The Rock and Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool.
Is it Fast and Furious, but heist, but without the cars?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. You know, Ryan Reynolds does parkour and mm-hmm. takes apart a scaffolding to, like, get away from cops and stuff. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Fast and Furious movie with an egg.
Cool. Checks out.
Yeah.
Riot DR said, it would appear in an attempt to teach Von Wagner human emotion and humor, he was shown That 70s Show. Sadly, he only retained one thing. Hashtag dumbass. Hashtag LIW for life.
Yeah, I really need him to stop saying that. Mm, yeah. You know? Yeah. We'll get to it, but yeah.
I know initially when Von Wagner came in and you were just like, you know, there's just the gorilla part of my brain that's just like, he's big. I just didn't have that. And
I think I'm over that.
Yeah.
I think I've gone past that and I'm no longer impressed. I need something else, and we'll get into Von Wagner's, Von Wagner's bit on this show. But I was like, nah, I'm kind of over it. Not super impressed with really anything that they've been doing. And also, why was he on SmackDown that one time?
Why is he on SmackDown? You know when on the SmackDown podcast last weekend, when I went on to look at everyone that wasn't in the Battle Royal and figure out where SmackDown's main eventers were, right?
Uh-huh.
Listed as part of the SmackDown roster was Von Wagner, like, as the caption to it was bodyguard of Adam Pearce. I'm like, since when?
Who wrote that?
Who wrote that in?
Was that a fan who's making an assumption?
Legit.
Was that a person on the writing team that's got a little bit inside knowledge that we don't know? Christ.
What? Like, he was there in a segment with Adam Pearce one time, and he was standing there with his arms folded, so I guess that makes him a bodyguard, right?
I don't know. Oh, Lord.
Dumb. Anyway, we'll get into more of your Ultra Chats later on. Please keep sending those in at wrestletalk.com/support, and also, while you're going down to the description to get that link, you should also click on the link for beer52.com/WrestleTalk. We are sponsored by Beer52, who are awesome. We've been sponsored by them throughout the entirety of November, but this is the final week where you can get your awesome deal of 10 free craft beers. Get it in time for Christmas. You know, that's a time of more drinking and things. So go ahead and get the 10 free craft beers. $5.95 for UK viewers only. They're awesome. They're really tasty beers. They expand your palate of really tasty beers. Luke has been subscribed to them for years before we even got sponsored by them. We get them for our live reaction stream and stuff. And we have a few while we're on the streams. And that's all great. It's just, go check them out. They're awesome. Beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Links at the top of the description and in the live chat spammed by our lovely moderation team. Thank you. Go check out the link. They're great. Now let's get into the rest of this episode of NXT, which opened with another very good thing. Which was the other ladder match for the women's War Games match. This was Kaylee Ray versus Dakota Kai, which started off with all the NXT women standing in a line on the stage, which is just, it's bad staging, but you know, whatever. Let's be positive about this. We had Kaylee Ray versus Dakota Kai. They all had a brawl. Kaylee Ray and Dakota Kai just kind of brawled out of that brawl. And then it started the match of Kai versus Kaylee Ray. And this was a lot of fun. Like you said in the first, when we were talking about the main event match, this was the big spot match. They went straight into doing big moves, big moves, big moves. Here's this dive off the top rope. Here's this dive off a ladder. Here's this thing onto this ladder. I'm going to throw your face into the steps, like there was, into like the corner of the steps. There was a lot of really fun spots in this one. Lots of really fun back and forth stuff. And I honestly quite liked the finish. It, I feel like some people felt it might have been a bit anticlimactic, but it was just like Dakota Kai was thrown off. Katie Ray just kind of super kicked her while she was upside down and then just climbed up and grabbed the thing. And I was like, great. Dakota Kai's, you know, midsection had been worked over for the majority of the match, and she was just on the floor, just like clutching her ribs, just being like, I can't climb the ladder. Cool. Great finish. Yeah. Ready to go to the match.
I didn't dislike this finish. I mean, I disliked
the choice
of who won.
Yes.
But as far as like the execution of the finish, I thought it was all very good stuff. I always like the finish of the person gets like their leg caught in the rope or in the rung of the ladder and has to lie there upside down. You know, Chris Jericho really liked doing that for a while in like 2008, I think. You know, they did like two ladder matches where he did the same thing. I haven't watched a lot of 2008 wrestling. I don't know if you can tell. But this was like the big spot match. They did Kaylee Ray did a dive off the top rope. And there were a number of moments where like I never felt like it was super dangerous, but there were definitely a lot of moments where I went, oh my God, which I guess is the point of a ladder match, you know, controlled chaos and controlled violence. And hopefully it makes you just go like, oh my God. But I was concerned at a few points, but they made it through. Like Dakota Kai did her double foot stomp off of the top rope and went down to the floor. And I was like, oh God, don't blow out your ACL or something. Cause like, that's how it would happen. I hate that move. Cause I was like, your legs just absorb so much of that fall. But you had that. You had another double foot stomp off the top of the ladder, which I absolutely thought was the finish.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, she's going to win now. But she didn't. Why did Kaylee Ray have to win?
I don't know. I feel like they could have had, you know, if they'd have done this match against Cora Jade, and then had the heels win. I think if you wanted to protect Kaylee Ray out of this, then don't have Kaylee Ray in the match. But also, you don't really want Cora Jade being in a big spot fest ladder match because she might not be the safest wrestler. She's comparatively very inexperienced to a lot of other people in the match. I understand that you want to protect some of the other names in this match, but the faces shouldn't have won. I reckon you could have quite easily had, especially because it's a ladder match, it wouldn't have even been illegal, the other War Games participants, Toxic Attraction, come out and cost Kaylee Ray the match, and Dakota Kai wins. I think it would have been good for Dakota Kai, because with her new character that she's got and all that jazz, she could do with a big win. And for Kaylee Ray, like, she doesn't lose a lot. She would have been screwed out of it. She's still protected in the finish. I think that would have made way more sense than just having the baby faces have the person advantage, because then the psychology in the War Games match is off.
Yeah. And that's the thing about ladder matches, though. You don't really need to protect anybody in defeat. Like, yeah, they might go into like the loss column, but they're not getting pinned. They're not submitting. They're not any of that. Like, that's why you do big gimmick matches, so that you can protect the person that loses. I see that we didn't learn our lesson from last year, because like, I know that the women's War Games match last year was like, oh, goofy fun, Io Shirai put a trash can on her head, haha. I thought the psychology of that match was like the worst that I'd seen in WWE all year. Like, it just didn't make any sense. It was the baby faces going in and having the advantage for the entire time, and half of the time the baby faces were getting like beaten up 2-on-1. Because that's just how you do a War Games match. Mm-hmm. You have the person come in and then they run wild, and then, you know, the heels get the advantage and you wait for the next person. But the whole thing was off because the order of entry was wrong. Like, you don't need to rethink the wheel when it comes to War Games matches. You do it the same way every time, and it works every time. TNA did this for like 10 years. And if you're doing the same mistakes that TNA did, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
that being said, I really enjoyed both of these ladder matches. Either before the podcast, like when we were just talking in the lobby and whatnot, or whatnot, where I was like, oh, can we not talk about both of the ladder matches like right at the beginning? Because I want to space out the positivity. And we were like, oh, yeah, we'll do one and then we'll do the other during the actual show. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, we talked about the main event and then the other one was the opener. So it's still like all the positivity at the beginning of the show.
Yep. So now we've done the positive section talking about the bookend of the show, which I would argue are the two most important parts of a show. How you start and how you end are the two most important bits, and they did really, really well this week with those things.
Yeah.
Now we talk about the rest of the show, which was a normal episode of NXT 2.0.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you haven't come to any of our NXT reviews before, we're not huge fans of the show. Just thrown out there. So, for example, the bit afterwards was a recap of Andre Chase and Cameron Grimes, and then we got Grizzled Young Veterans backstage who are trying to break into a locker because their gimmick now is that they're like criminals, I guess.
They've turned this super serious, awesome heel team into just a pair of goofballs.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
To me. Oh, this.
I hate that. I really feel pain when I look at the Grizzled Young Veterans and what they're doing right now. They're just like, they lost last week, and they're just goofballs. And also, Jacket Time was here, and it was like vaguely racially insensitive because they're just like, they're the idiot foreigners that don't understand regular human interaction, you know? Yeah. This segment sucked.
It was not good. Grizzled Young Vets tried to break into a locker. Jacket Time came in. I can't believe their team name is still Jacket Time. They came in and they were like, hey, what you doing? And then they were like, shh, we're trying to break into this locker. It's a covert operation. And they're like, shh, really loudly. And then they say, shh, back. And then they say, shh, back even louder. And they just do loudly shush back and forth for a while. And then Johnson, what's his name? Josh Briggs?
Yeah.
Brooks Jensen. Oh, I'm getting there eventually.
Ooh, it was Josh Briggs. It was the big
these
one.
These names are so interchangeable. They came in and were just like, hey, what are you guys doing? And then James Drake ran off.
It's terrible.
Let's move on, because it's going to make me more depressed the more time we spend on it. We then had Cameron Grimes versus Andre Chase, and I was a bit disappointed with... I really enjoyed Cameron Grimes' promo from last week, with him having... You know, it was the first time we'd seen the short hair and the short beard, him coming out, and he was very, very serious and straight to the camera. He was very, almost like, demented in a way, and just being like, I'm going to mess up Duke Hudson at War Games. And when he came out here, I was like, oh, it's old Cameron Grimes, but with just shorter hair. It was just him coming out and just being like, to the moon, you know, all the usual Cameron Grimes stuff. And I was like, oh, I thought it was a proper character change from last week, you know. I was a little bit disappointed with that. The match was what it was. It was very short. Cameron Grimes won in a couple minutes. Had a promo afterwards, which we'll talk about in a minute. What do you think of this, the Cameron Grimes stuff?
I mean, there wasn't much to say about the match, obviously. No, like, it was short. He won with the cave-in in, like, 2 minutes. It was, like, it was whatever. But, yeah, it's tough because he's, like, he's really charismatic and everything. And I don't necessarily think that he needs to be, like, you know, a totally different person. But I would have liked to have seen him be, like, more serious, at least going into this match. Absolutely. You know, after getting a win over Duke Hudson, hopefully. I would think that at that point he could like get some positivity back and be back on the right foot. It just feels like tonal dissonance, you know, where it's like, okay, last week he was this way. Now this week he's something else. Mm-hmm. And then I would imagine we go into the match and he'll probably be serious again because, you know, it's fighting time. But I don't know. I'd prefer if it was more consistent, at least to that point. And then maybe afterwards we can reevaluate, but nah.
Yeah. But then we got a promo from Duke Hudson.
Yeah, we did.
Which was really bad. He came out onto the Crow's Nest platform that's still there for some reason. And he said, oh, I've got a buddy who did some photoshops of what you could look like after war games. And it shows him with various beards and mustaches and hairstyles. And then he leads up to the big one, which was just everything gone. It was smooth Cameron Grimes. And none of it was funny. No. And also, if it's a hair versus hair match, he won't have any of these hairstyles because he's going to be bald. That's the point of a hair versus hair match.
Oh, boy. I don't need to see a promo where the heel is talking and going through a slideshow on the Titantron ever again. It's like a WWE special, you know? And it's terrible. Like, every time.
Has it ever worked?
I don't think so. Like, maybe if The Rock did it one time, but I can't think of any examples of that happening. So just stop doing it. Like, I need the people in charge to realize that they're not funny.
Mm.
That can be, like, a really difficult thing for some people to like, come to grips with. But yeah, the people who write this show are not funny. And they need to stop trying to write comedy into their wrestling shows.
It's just not good.
Oh, God.
I genuinely want to just move on right now because it was...
Yeah.
It was really bad. I hated it. Wade Barrett has a Toxic Attraction shirt. And then we got the confirmation of Gargano being voted in for the War Games Advantage match later. We then got a video promo for Edris Enofe, who was a new debut on this episode. He was having a match with Solo Sikoa later. I thought this was really good. Gave him some character, gave him a reason for being there. Kind of talked about how he was similar to Solo Sikoa in another way. And he's gonna beat him later. Good stuff.
Yeah. This, I was like, taken aback. I was like, what's this show trying to do here? What's going on? You know, because we didn't, we didn't get like the 2 and 3 and 4 week buildup for this guy's debut. You know, it was like, I think I saw a tweet about it where they were just like, Idris Enofe is debuting tonight. And I was like, I'm come again?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, am I supposed to know who that is? You know, you haven't told me who that is so far. But then we got this promo package, and I was like, well, he's facing Solo Sikoa, so I don't think he's winning. But I also don't think that this match is just going to be a squash. So I guess it, like, accomplished its goals, and this is definitely a guy that they're going to feature more than your average, you know, job talent.
Mm.
I wish that they would do stuff like this more. And to be fair, they did another promo package for a different guy later in the show, so I guess this is something that they're going to be doing. But... yeah, I like stuff like this, you know? Mm. He had decent delivery. You know, he was, I'm guessing, telling his real-life story. You know, I don't think any of this was made up, so it made me feel a little bit more connected to him. So, hell yeah. Good for you, Idris Enofe.
Yeah. And he looked pretty cool, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we get to his match. Yeah. We then got the team NXT 2.0 promo that we mentioned about before with Bron Breakker saying that he's going to be fighting in the Advantage match. And then they all cut a promo on the black and gold team. Johnny Gargano came out, Gordon the big booty nephew.
Haha. Just call him a friggin' Steiner.
Oh, my God.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's insane, isn't
like,
it?
Oh, if they were dead set on never mentioning that he's a Steiner, that's one thing. But they're mentioning every single possible Steiner reference except the name.
Yeah.
It's so odd. You would think that you want this guy to be as marketable as possible, and that includes having the second generation name.
Like, the dude wrestles in the singlet. He has a siren for the entrance. He does the Steiner recliner. They keep mentioning that he's the nephew. You know? It's like every possible thing they could talk about being a Steiner without saying that he's a Steiner is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also call Solo Sikoa an Uso while you're at it.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. I don't want to talk about the, I don't want to talk. About
I like this promo segment though. I really did.
Yes.
I want more positivity on this show. I like this promo segment a lot. I thought everyone did a really good job. I like how you can see everyone's got their own rival on the other side. It's not just like, we're fighting against that other team, and it feels not personal. I like that there are mini rivalries all within the larger rivalry. And for the most part, I mean, there's some that I don't really care about. Like, Tony D'Angelo and Pete Dunne have nothing going on.
No.
You know, that one's kind of forced. But otherwise, all the other ones have kind of been built up over weeks, you know? And so, obviously, this group of guys has never really interacted before like a week ago. So, there's still a little bit there. But it feels a little bit more warranted to have a big four-on-four match when you've got all of these guys actually feuding with all the other four guys. So, I will give them credit there. This promo segment made me care a lot more about this show, and I wasn't caring that much about it beforehand. So, props to you. Good job, Gold Star.
Yep. And afterwards, right. MSK did a promo. They are not funny.
It's like, yeah. They said like the thing told them like, oh, it took you 5 weeks to get here. And it's like, like, yeah, it did. Explain that for me.
5 weeks.
I want to take 5 weeks off of work. That sounds like fun.
Like, in kayfabe, it doesn't make sense. Out of kayfabe, it doesn't make sense. It's bad. It's not funny. It's not good. They're obnoxious. They make jokes that aren't funny. And I don't entirely blame them, because the vast majority of it is the writing of this stuff, which, you know, is out of their control, right? But then they went up to, like, a door. They found the person they were looking for. They went up to the door, and it was all smoky and stuff, and then we don't see who the person is, and then that's it for this week. I just...
Who do you think it is?
I don't care. I don't care, Tempest.
That is the correct answer, I'll be honest.
Literally. It's not even like a case of like, oh, I wonder who that is next week. Like, I genuinely couldn't care less.
It would have been 6 weeks. You know?
6 weeks!
Like...
And it's more than a normal main roster pay-per-view cycle. Yeah. And we've just been doing this for ages.
Yeah.
I can't.
Like,
this is not good.
No, it's so bizarre because, like, it's not like this was a one-day trip that they filmed and then split up into six segments, right? Because that would make a little bit more sense narratively, because obviously it doesn't take you 6 weeks to fly from wherever they were to wherever they are. But in canon, they were in the car for a week.
Yeah.
They were in the car for a week. They were driving for a full week.
Mm-hmm.
Show's dumb.
Yeah, sure is. We then got Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner versus Legado del Fantasma, number one contendership match for the tag team titles. LDF cut a promo beforehand. Zion Quinn came out in the match, which then went to an ad break. And then when they came back from the ad break, Zion Quinn decided to do something and beat up Santos Escobar for a bit. What was he doing in the ad break? Was he just chilling? I don't know or care. That didn't factor into like a finish or any meaningful thing in the match itself. It was just a thing they wanted to happen. And it was like, why is he coming out now? Oh, because the script says so. Because we need to go to an ad break, so out you go, Zion Quinn. Now is your time to go out. And then Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner won in the end with the Red Dragon finish, but worse. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I have given up on this team. You know? I don't think they actually have tag chemistry.
No, not at all.
Like, the matches are fine because Kyle O'Reilly's a good wrestler and Von Wagner can, like, wrestle and not stand out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. And Legado del Fantasma is obviously, like, very talented, obviously. Obviously, obviously. But
obviously.
Yeah. But I don't feel like Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner are a tag team. They're just two guys. And they're not even, like, a thrown-together team that works. I just feel like they're two guys that are being booked together. I don't believe that they're friends. I don't believe that they like would ever hang out in real life. And maybe they do, but it just doesn't come across on TV. I'm over it. I watched this match and I got really sad about Kyle O'Reilly. Like,
yeah, man.
I thought he was going to beat Karrion Kross for the NXT title and be like the top babyface of this show. Like, I was certain that that's where we were going after the Adam Cole feud. And we've gone in the complete opposite direction.
Cool Kyle, man.
Cool Kyle.
Cool Kyle.
It's a shame. I really would have put these two in the War Games match on opposite sides. Like, have them break up 2 weeks ago and have Kyle be in place of, like, LA Knight. And then have, or whatever, maybe Pete Dunne. I don't know who you take out on either side. But, yeah. Like, just have them be on opposite sides of this War Games match instead. And you could have had, like, another actual storyline going into it. I would have done it, but whatever.
I think if you'd have set up the kind of the almost the faction warfare between the new and the old a little bit earlier in anticipation of War Games, and you had like new people feuding with old people and new guys trying to take their spots and all that stuff, and you had like this conflict going on like permeated the whole brand, and then you had like, you know, backstage segments with Kyle and Von like taking their respective sides and like siding with those people, and then they get into like disagreements, being like, no, like I agree with these people, and Von's like, no, I agree with these people, and then they inevitably have that split up and they join on either side and they're both in the War Games match. I think that makes way more sense.
I really like that idea, actually. Like, I really like that idea. You could like start it with them being like, no, everyone's fighting, but we're a team, we're still buddies, yeah. You know, and just like start it off fine, and then a couple weeks later, you know, you've got a segment backstage where Kyle O'Reilly's talking with Johnny Gargano or somebody else that's on the old team. And there's like, I don't know, man, you got to watch out for that Von Wagner. You know, he's one of them new people, and be like, nah, Von Wagner, he's cool. We went out in the hike. We went hiking in the woods. We did bro man things. You know, he's my buddy. And then you can cut to a shot of Von Wagner talking with the new people. And then Kyle O'Reilly can walk up and be like, what are you talking about, pal? You know, you tease it first, and then you go onward, and you subtly split them. But WWE is as subtle as a brick, so I don't know. I like our fantasy booking a lot more than what they've done.
Guys, I'm just saying, wrestling is not that hard to book. It's really not. Like, we came up with that off the top of our heads. I'm not saying it's perfect by any means, but it is infinitely better than what they've done by, one, not including Kyle in the War Games match. That is a home run. Put Kyle in the War Games match. Undisputed Era were War Games. That was their thing. To not have Kyle O'Reilly be in the War Games match is just an oversight. And you already have the team of Kyle and Von, which would make for a perfect separation of the new and the old. It just makes so much sense. You have it right there. Whatever. We've spoken about it for more than they probably thought about it, so... Imperium did a promo. What heels? They don't talk English. Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner came in and be like, we will beat you.
Dumbass. Call them dumbasses.
Dumbass.
Dumbass. It's like the most non-threatening thing you can call someone.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you sound like such a, like a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's fine. Tiffany Stratton is still coming soon, who's, you know, Rich Daddy's girl, basically. So I'm assuming she's basically Stephanie McMahon from, you know, 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people get, like, worked up about this gimmick and everything already. I'm just like, I don't know. Just like, I can't believe WWE. Oh, it's a John Laurinaitis gimmick, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I don't
buy it.
It's a gimmick. It's like, whatever. It's a gimmick. You know, if it's good, then it's good. If it's not, then it's not. But I'm not getting anything out of the promos so far that I didn't get out of the first one. I'll just wait and see the actual character.
Yeah. Joe Gacy had a thing. Recap Joe Gacy from before. Then he had his all-inclusive invitational. And you know what? I've not liked Joe Gacy. You and I have been very vocal about not liking the Joe Gacy character and, you know, all the his booking and things like that. It's all been very strange and we're not huge fans of it. He cut a promo doing his all-inclusive invitational, and there was a dude, a woman, and a big dude. And he said that he's going to fight all of them And he said that he's going to beat Roderick Strong in NXT conflict resolution. Sure, whatever. I thought it was a 3-on-1 handicap match, but it turns out it was supposed to be like a gauntlet match because the people were standing on the apron. Turns out it was supposed to be like a gauntlet type thing. So Joe Gacy beat the regular dude in, you know, like a minute. Not too long. It was just a squash match. And then it got slightly interesting because he said he was going to have the match against the woman next. The woman came in. And
Kesha Price. She's on AEW Dark and stuff quite a bit.
Sure. They were going to lock up, and then Diamond Mine interrupted. And I was like, oh, I thought they were going to do something that's mildly interesting on this show. You know, WWE doesn't do intergender wrestling. Yeah. And I really like intergender wrestling. I think it's great. I thought they were going to do something a bit different. You know, as much as we don't like Joe Gacy, if he's going to start doing intergender wrestling, that's cool. That's a thing that separates him out from other people. That's cool. That's a thing that he can do. But they didn't do that. They teased doing it, and then Diamond Mine came out to interrupt, and I was like, okay, so all of this was pointless. Awesome. Diamond Mine cut a promo, and then Roderick Strong gets in the ring and says, Joe, I'm done with the talking, and then goes to hit him. Joe Gacy basically no-sells it, and then does like a springboard like clothesline thing, and then leaves and gets out on top somehow, even though Roddy was the one who instigated the thing. So, chat, if you can tell me, people in the live chat right now, who is the babyface? Who are we supposed to cheer for in this feud? I'd love to know.
I have not got the slightest clue. Not the slightest clue, because, I mean, Diamond Mine are not babyfaces, last I checked. And Roderick Strong surely came out of this looking like a total punk. You know,
it's just perfect. So I just looked at the chat and consecutive answers were Roddy, Gacy. Which one is it, chat?
I don't know. This whole segment went on for far too long for my liking. You know, it just kept going. And there's no one to cheer for in this because the only people that were somewhat likable were the three job people on the apron. And I don't think Shortman got any offense in this entire little short squash match. Mm-hmm. And it was a short match because he's short. The whole segment just sucked.
I also want to point out, we talk about pacing a lot, and obviously this show had its pacing issues, much like every other WWE show. But I just want to point out this one in particular because Roddy came in and did the attack. Joe Gacy got the upper hand with the clothesline, went to the outside and stood behind Harland, right? This is all happening within a few seconds. Like, Roddy hits the punch, he immediately hits the springboard, clotheslines him, rolls out the ring, gets behind Harland, segment ends immediately. And it's like, I didn't even get any time to, like, process what just happened. And then it just goes on to the next thing.
Yeah.
It just, it was literally like whiplash of like, oh, that's the segment over? Like, I thought Diamond Mine would have more things, or they'd, like, interact a bit more, or they'd talk more, or at least just let them, like, stare down a bit, you know, ahead of their War Games match or something. Have, like, a visual to end on of those two, like, staring off or something. It was just like, no, clothesline, out the ring, end of segment. It was just, like, almost like a whiplash effect. But, like, oh, my God, it's the next thing.
Yeah.
Is what it
is. How do we get here? How do we get away from the Joe Gacy Harlan stuff that was actually, like, not terrible? They're just like a team now. It's really odd. I don't get it.
Harlan hasn't done anything. He closed like Ciampa one time.
Yeah.
You know the one. You know the one. Hold on. I've got it. Hold on. There it is. He did that the one time. You know? He did that.
Mom says it's my turn on the Xbox. T-pose.
I'm like, that's it. That's all he's done. Weird. Anyway, Solo Sikoa cut a promo, and then Boa came in, and he was like, I'm like, Boa, what are you doing? What's happening? And then Solo Sikoa was like, shut up, man. And then walked off. And then I was like, oh, it's Solo Sikoa versus Boa next thing. And then it wasn't, obviously, because they teased the thing earlier with the new guy that they did the video promo for. But I was assuming this was leading into Boa versus Solo Sikoa. And it wasn't, because they'd already announced the other thing. And then Boa came out after the match with face paint on. What's happening with Boa?
I posed the question on Twitter. Which is the worst character? Is it Joe Gacy or is it Boa?
It's because
they are. See, I got a lot of people saying Joe Gacy. This is very split. This is like so incredibly stupid. Both of these are so stupid as characters, but in completely different ways. Completely different ways. I hate this kind of thing in wrestling. Like, I find crap like Orange Cassidy's fake kicks and Kenny Omega wrestling a girl and all that kind of thing. That is so much more believable than any of this crap that Boa is doing. Like, I 100% believe that a 9-year-old girl could beat up a grown man more than I believe whatever Boa is doing.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
It's so bad. And him just coming out and just being like, what is happening with Boa? And like everyone else has to like play along with it. You know, they have to interact with this character that's being a complete psychopath. I have no idea what he's doing. And then comes out after the match, after it was Solo Sikoa versus Hedra Senefe, which we'll talk about in a second. But came out afterwards and tried to attack. And I think he hit one thing and then he like ran off. And I was like, who's getting upper hands in these things? Why is it that, like, we had it in the last segment with Joe Gacy as well, that the person who gets the upper hand then runs off afterwards as well? It's just, wait, what's going on this show? It just permeates throughout the whole thing. But
yeah. Whatever. I need this character to piss off, though.
Yes.
Like, badly. I need Boa to just, like, get totally repackaged, get a new name, wrestle under a mask. I don't know. Just stop doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Tian Shaw is like one of the worst things to ever happen in NXT.
Oh, it's bad, isn't it?
Oh.
It's bad. We did have the match, though, of Solo Sikoa versus Edris Enofe. And you know what? Edris, I thought, looked really cool. I think he's got a great look. I think he looked pretty decent in this match. Well, not anything spectacular by any means, but I think he has a really cool look. He's very marketable. It seemed very cool. They had a decent little match, and Solo Sikoa got the win in the end with a pop-up Samoan drop into a splash. This is after Edris went for a 450, but missed and like landed on his feet and rolled through, went straight into a pop-up Samoan drop into the splash. And there you go. Solo Sikoa wins. Good stuff.
It's good.
Yeah.
It was good. You know, it still wasn't like a super long match. Like, Solo Sikoa was still very much like the featured talent here, but I mean, Idris Enofe got like an entrance and he got offense in and he looked cool. He's got a good look. He had good gear. He came across, I don't want to say as like a star, but as someone who has the potential to be a star, you know, and that's better than we've gotten most weeks out of similar matches. So this gets a thumbs up from me.
Yeah. Do you want to know what doesn't get a thumbs up from me?
What's that?
Indi Hartwell.
Yeah.
Indi Hartwell and Persia Parada backstage. They have a phone call from someone from, like, the hospital saying that Dexter Lumis is out of the hospital. He's gone from the hospital. And then Indy's like, wait, what? And then she's mad distracted for the next match. Also, I would like to point out, this took place with someone sleeping on the couch behind them.
Yep.
Who was it?
The going theory that I've seen is that this was Mei Ying as like a regular person, Karen Q. I don't know that, but that's the going theory.
Okay. The fact that there has to be a theory about who is sleeping on the couch in this backstage segment with Indi Hartwell and Persia Parada is ridiculous. How can you just have someone
terribly written show
who is there with just like, you know, like an eye mask on and just like sleeping on a couch in the back of this shot that has no relevance to a thing that's happening. And it's all well and good to like tease a future story of, you know, someone is in the back, like staring at a person that's talking in a backstage interview or whatever. That's really like a subtle little tease, or like, you know, Bray Wyatt's puppets are in the background of this backstage segment, but someone is just sleeping. They're doing a very unusual thing in the background and the show just doesn't explain it.
Yeah.
I just also, don't understand.
Also, I think I came up with another example. This goes back to our last podcast that you and I did together. I think I thought of another moment where letting it play out actually happened.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm sure nobody else is going to remember this. It's a throwaway segment from like 10 years ago. Mm. But do you remember when Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee were going to get married on Raw? It was like Raw 1000 or whatever, I think.
Yes.
They had a segment backstage where Daniel Bryan was talking with a bunch of men dressed in white. Mm-hmm. And it was like a throwaway segment, never explained again on that show. And I saw a lot of people being like, what was the point of this? They're never going to explain this, whatever. And Let It Play Out wasn't a thing that people said at that point. Mm-hmm. But there were people just being like, oh, let it play out without saying that. Yes. And sure enough, it was brought up again the next week, where AJ Lee was just like, those weren't your groomsmen. You were going to have me committed to a mental hospital. And he was like, no, those were my groomsmen. I was dressed in white. They were dressed in white. And sure enough, they were like mental institution people and took Daniel Bryan away for anger management training. So letting it play out circa 2012.
Well done, Tempest. That proves the point, I think, if we have to let every single thing play out.
Every single thing.
Tian Sha, just let it play out, you know? It's gone so well.
Good Who God. Is this person sleeping on the couch? Just let it play out.
Just let it play out. I don't want to let it play out because the show needs to explain things that are unusual. Zion Quinn is fighting Santos Escobar next week. Cool. We then got a recap of Dexter and Indy and then Dexter getting injured. And then we had Indy and Persia Prota versus Yulisa Leon and someone else is what I wrote.
Valentina Ferraz.
Thank you. Persia Parota won by herself because Indy was too distracted. Cool.
Dexter Lumis was in the hospital for 2 weeks with a broken hand. It's not how that works.
You imagine being in the hospital for 2 weeks. You're like, I broke my hand.
Did he have to regrow his bones?
Hey,
did,
man.
Did he get whatever that serum stuff was in Harry Potter?
Time in the NXT world is stretched out like to ridiculous portions because MSK are driving in a car for an entire week and been trying to find a dude for 6 weeks. So if Dexter Lumis is in the hospital for a couple weeks, I think that makes sense, you know, in the NXT world.
Time doesn't pass when they're not on screen. Exactly. So really he's been on for like 4 hours.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
So dumb. And I know, like, I don't want to harp on it every single week because we talked about it last week, but I hate this Indy Hartwell brutal overacting in the matches. Like I said, WWE's as subtle as a brick, and I'd very much prefer if this match was like Indy Hartwell is just off her game. She's slightly missing things, not just standing in the ring and not being able to function because her boyfriend, husband, has a broken hand. So dumb.
We then got a rundown of the War Games matches, and we got another video promo for a debuting soon person called Draco Anthony.
Also, according to our wonderful mod mother, who did a poll on who the babyface was in the Joe Gacy Roderick Strong match, 65% say Roderick Strong. 35% say Joe Gacy.
That
makes
sense.
Your answer. It's fairly split.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. What was the last thing on the show? What are we at?
Draco Anthony had a video.
Oh, yeah.
Promo.
That's a name.
Looks all right. There's a dude who's in like a cafeteria and was like doing the thing, and he's like, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to show you.
Yeah.
Which
cool.
is good.
It's cool. Yeah. I'm into it. Yeah. Not a whole lot to go off of, but it was solid.
Yeah. And then we had the main event that we've already spoken about, of Johnny Gargano versus Bron Breakker. And you know what? This episode feels like it's been very, very negative. Because there's a lot of segments.
With the start.
There's a lot of segments on a regular NXT 2.0 episode. A lot of segments are very short, very quick, and we go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next for the whole episode. They started and ended the show very well. With those ladder matches, they got given time. They were fun, exciting matches with one winner that I would have picked and one winner that I wouldn't, but the finishes were good. They made sense. They were executed very well. The matches were very exciting. Pretty much everything else in the middle, bar that promo from Team NXT 2.0, was regular NXT 2.0 stuff. There might be one or two good things in there, but the vast majority of it is pretty pants. So yeah, by NXT 2.0 standards, I would give this a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Wild. Absolutely wild. Because I
by
agree.
By NXT 2.0 standards, because they started and ended the show really well.
Yeah.
And everything else was a bit boring. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. See, if there weren't so many segments on this show,
mm-hmm,
I'd probably like it a lot more.
Same.
You know? It's because, like, because the time spent between good and bad on this show is not ridiculous. It's like we had the opening match and the closing match and the promo in the middle. That probably takes up at least a third of the show, probably more, you know, yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 40 minutes of the show. But it's because you do so many short bad segments in the middle that it feels like there's so much more negativity when, no, the same amount of time is spent between positive and negative. It's just that instead there are three really good long matches and segments, and then you've got a million short ones that are all 2 minutes or less, and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
So just get rid of all those and fill in like another one or two good long matches, and this show is such a breeze.
Mm.
Still, good show. Good show. I like the ladder matches.
Love that we just completely just like trash on their entire like booking philosophy and how they do their segments and their writing and their booking and everything. Go, still a good show though. You know,
I gotta you know, this show just, it has broken me. So anytime I get anything that's remotely good, I'll be like, yes, good show. It's fine.
Good
show. Whatever.
Good show. Yeah.
Good job, NXT. Give me more of that.
Yeah, totally. But just do more of the beginning and the end and less of the everything else that was in the middle. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Riot DR says, I just felt a need to remind everyone that Kushida is a 6-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, and the grizzled young veterans are probably the best tag team to come out of the UK since the Bulldogs. Comedy?
Comedy. Look at these comedians.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Bolt Knight says, one, when is Kyle's contract up after War Games? Two, what is the guy's favorite War Games match? Mine is the Team Champa versus Undisputed Era. Personally, love the Owens pop. Hashtag LIW4Life. Hashtag exciting grapes. Hashtag arousing stuff. Nearly a year since we did that video. Longitudinal, dude.
Hell yeah. I don't know. I think probably last year's men's match. If I'm just going based off of like NXT War Games, because typically I don't really like NXT War Games matches. They're just not really War Games matches, you know, and the way that it was initially designed and conceived. My favorite War Games matches are the old ones, you know, the old NWA, WCW ones. But if I'm picking an NXT one, probably last year's, I think that was probably the closest to a proper War Games match.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I liked the one where, who was it, where Raquel Gonzalez got the pin? Mm. That women's one was really good, I seem to remember.
Well, that was also last year, wasn't it?
Was that last year or was that year before?
I think it was last year.
Was it last year? I didn't really like that one. I like that Raquel got the pin. I know that was the one you hated because the psychology was off. But whatever. Duffs 101 said, next week, MSK find their guru is actually Mei Ying. We then get 6 more weeks of them being beaten up with kendo sticks to form Tian Sha 2.0.
You know, I wouldn't put it past them.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised.
So stupid.
Very stupid. Goodness me. Van Twin Blade says, Von Wagner is big boy number 662940 and will fail like 90% of the rest of the big boys because big boy isn't a character. You're right, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
sure
right.
Sure isn't. Yep.
You're breaking down WWE's problem for like the last 20 years.
Yeah. Goodness me. Some stupid punk says, yo, I hear Chopper Pete, our former champion who was absolutely robbed, but all I see is Charles Bronson and Tempest. Tempest, if you see copious amounts of butter, run. Just run.
Will do.
Mm.
Take it off.
And also, I'm fine. I wasn't, don't worry. It was, you know, he used his jam in the jar and he cashed it off that he legitimately lost 5-2 at Survivor Series. And yes, I did lose my championship that defined me for 6 months from, you know, I held the title for 154 days. And it was the thing that defined me at WrestleTalk for 6 months. But I'm fine. As you can tell, I'm fine.
You look fine.
I'm great. I'm very fine. Raul L. has been a member for 3 months. Thank you very much, Raul. And says, my coffee is so jam that jam. I don't know if that makes sense, but I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless.
Don't put jam in your coffee. That's probably not good.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, no, that's no bueno. I believe that is going to do it for the Ultra Chats for this episode, and that is going to do it for this episode. One more time, I'd like to say that we are sponsored by Beer 52. Go check it out at beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Go and get your 10 free craft beers. This is the final week you can get this deal. So if you've been debating and sitting on the fence, this is the last chance you can. Go get it in time for Christmas. beer52.com/WrestleTalk. Link is at the top of the description and in the live chat. 10 free craft beers. UK viewers only. All you have to do is pay $5.95 for the postage. They're great and tasty. Go get them. You like beer. We like beer. Beer's good. Beer 52. Do it. For all the pledge hammers, by the way, who are now watching this for the first time, if you hadn't checked out, if you're not a member on the WrestleTalk podcast channel or don't listen to the audio versions, yeah, you are going to be hearing these little claps in between the intro and the outro, because that's the editing point for Editor Vinny, who edits the podcast version, the audio versions of the things. That's so he can know where to cut for where the intro and the outro goes. So it's just a little behind the scenes thing that you guys are now aware of. You're welcome.
We're peeling back the curtain here so far. At WrestleTalk.
The curtain has peeled so far back, it's barely even a curtain anymore.
What is it, Pete?
What?
What is it, then? If it's not even a curtain anymore, what is it?
I said barely even a curtain. Uh-huh. Still a curtain.
Come on, witty man.
It's peeled back. It's curtain. It's a drape. I don't know. Tempest, I have a very serious question for you, though.
Yes.
How's Pokemon going?
It's going all right, you know. Yeah. I have made it to the Pokemon League, and I'm currently grinding. Because apparently, and I've been told this by real people, they have seriously buffed Cynthia in this game.
Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Like, cool. She's got like real game strats and everything. She's not just some dumb AI. Like, she's got like crazy hold items and strategies and everything. So I need to make sure that I'm strong enough to do all that. And I don't think that I am so far, because I got through about half of the game and I was like, you know what? I don't like half my team. And so I just went and caught different Pokemon.
Nice.
So I think of the original 6 that I was going with, I think 2 have remained, and I've replaced everything else on my team. So
budget cuts like WWE.
Yeah, sorry, Pokemans. You've been wished your best luck in your future endeavors and such and such. But still, I've got a decent little team. I got a Garchomp just because how could I not? And hopefully that's going to be able to carry me. I'm using a Clefable for the first time in my life.
Clefable?
Yeah.
Isn't great stats-wise, but with like the abilities, with like Magic Guard and Unaware and stuff, it's just like, it's just bulky enough for what you need it for.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not a normal type anymore. No. So like, I don't feel like I'm totally just having a dead member of my team that can't be used in battle at all. Like now, maybe this Clefable can take out Cynthia's Garchomp or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I just saw a Clefairy and I was like, you know what? Why not? Let's give you a go this time. So yeah, we're rolling. I've got myself a little Roserade. I'm really happy about that one. That's probably my favorite grass type.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good little team, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Who else you got then? With Garchomp, good question. Roserade.
Let's see. We got Infernape, we got Luxray, we got Garchomp, we got Clefable, we got Roserade.
And one more.
And... oh, come on. Racking my brain. I cannot remember. I can't remember.
God damn it.
It's not in my brain. Hopefully it'll come to me. We'll be halfway through the actual podcast and be like, no, it was so-and-so.
So you said before, I think you had a Rhydon, right?
Yeah.
Is that one of the ones that's gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Checks out. Just trying to think of other Pokemon. Hippowdon.
No. I don't know, I'm just guessing. It wasn't a Hippowdon. I tried to use like an Altaria for a little bit, but I was just like, yeah, I got another Dragon type. I don't really need this one.
Altaria's only good when it's Mega.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to bother me. Who the hell is on my team?
I'm trying to think, what don't you have right now? You don't have a water type, right?
No, type? And it's crazy. Like, I love water types. It's probably my favorite type. But...
Is it a fighting? Nope, you have Infernape. Never mind.
Yeah.
Is it a... This is going to be a real... this. If we don't get this in the next 3 minutes, this is going to be bugging you throughout the entirety of the NXT podcast.
Yeah, I'm really trying here, too. Like, who the hell is on my team? It's definitely a Pokemon that I've evolved already.
To help you think about this, here's a picture of Haaland.
Oh, he's doing the T-pose.
Yep, well.
Look at it. It's his turn on the Xbox.
Incredible.
Oh, God. Who?
I don't know.
Who is it?
Drifblim.
No.
Gastrodon.
No.
Floatzel.
No.
Is it a Gen 4 Pokemon?
I don't know.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Come on, Staravia.
It could be anything.
Staravia, sorry.
It could literally be anything at this point.
Rampardos. Bastiodon.
No.
Crobat.
What are other types? Maybe flying? It's a, I feel like maybe it's a psychic type.
Surely you have a flying type for fly.
HMs don't work that way anymore.
Did they keep it from Sword and Shield where you got the
pretty much
stuff? Okay, that's fair.
Are there psychic types in this game? I feel like I might have a psychic type.
You might have a psychic type? Gallade.
No. I had a Gardevoir for a bit and that one got retired.
Nice. Who else is psychic type in Gen 4? Behem.
That's Gen 5. I give up. I don't know. I'll try and figure this out and halfway through the regular podcast. I mean, the podcast listeners will be listening to the whole show anyway. Although this part of the conversation will be taking place after the podcast.
It will.
It's going to be a real jump around moment here.
It sure is. Yeah.
No, I'll figure this out. We will resolve this this talking point.
You're going to have to go and like get your Switch in the middle of NXT to just go and figure this out.
It's really bothering me.
Anyway, thanks everyone for sticking around while Tempest tries to figure out his Pokemon team, TM. TM, technical machine, also trademark. Thank you very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Stay tuned for more content coming soon. We love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.